This is the doubleheader. I'm Hari Srinivasan, joined by Mark Shields and David Brooks to talk about the sport of politics and the politics of sport. We're not going to talk about the elections because you've been talking about the elections for too long, but the president does, coincidentally, after a not-so-great showing at the polls, run off to my motherland for a 10-day Asian visit. What do you think? Is he going to actually be able to try and bring jobs back to the United States, as he says, by taking a delegation of CEOs with him?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I imagine going to visit American jobs. That's what he's going to do. It's probably a good time for the president to be out of town because you can see the tensions already forming on the Republican side between Mitch McConnell and John Boehner. And I think it's understandable that any president wants to visit the old country. I mean, you know, going to Indonesia where he spent part of his youth.
I thought his old country.
India first, and then
India, but then Indonesia.
Indonesia. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's sort of a reclaiming of the presidential mantle, which has been a little bit dusted.
From backyards to palaces.
That's right. Oh, very good.
Yeah. It's going to be a headline on one of your columns.
You make words live.
Okay. So do you think that this helps him frame it's back? It's all about the economy. It's all about jobs. I'm going overseas, but really, it's about you.
Well, he gets to see the people who own the country, our country, someday. I mean, that's really what's striking. First, we're all sort of stunned by the security costs of this thing, which are pretty high. But you know, when China and India, people very confident. America, not so much. Mm-hmm. And so it's good to see him going where our markets are. And where increasingly investors are, because it's not only China, but it's also Japan and India. People there racking up huge amounts of money. And for whatever reason, U.S. Treasuries and U.S. real estate in particular are safe harbors for these people. And so we're intertwined.
Okay. A late inning add to the politics of sport, or the sport of politics, I should say. Keith Overman earlier on Friday was suspended because Politico reported that he had made contributions to three Democratic candidates. This is the man who essentially has, in many ways, led MSNBC to go a little bit more liberal, more left. And he took Fox News, and I should say the News Corp, to task for making their $1 million contribution. So right of him to be suspended, should he be fired?
I don't know. That's a good question, whether he should be fired. He certainly should have been suspended. And I don't know how long. I mean, has there been any suspensions? I know that Hannity has done Republican events at Fox. I just think it's inappropriate. I really do. I mean, it's one thing to express your opinion, but I think when it comes down to writing checks to candidates or parties, I think that's really crossing the forbidden line.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's like a taboo, but we're dinosaurs. And, you know, Keith Overman is advocating for a political party and candidates all the time.
Right. So does
it
make a difference?
Maybe he's in a different character. But I guess I think keeping the taboos of the old media are helpful, because even if you're a liberal, polemicist or whatever he is, it's still useful to keep some separation from the parties and the politicians.
But I mean, these are individuals that are making millions of dollars. For them, it's literally like dropping nickels and dimes in to throw $2,400 or $2,200 or whatever it is.
One of the things that bothered me about the story was that the day he made the contribution, he had the candidate to whom he contributed on the air. I mean, that really is. Now, I think the bookend is that Fox does the same thing. I mean, and Fox has become the vetting organization for the national Republican leadership. I mean, you almost have to go through the chairs at Fox to pass their test. And I think at a more serious level, I think it's one of the problems we face with compromise, that anybody who advocates or practices compromise with the president is probably going to get a pasting, at least on some Fox shows.
For sure.
So, is it any better if basically I say that I have in fact been paid by both Mark Shields and David Brooks at each program
I don't think that's of interest to anybody, and I think it's just among the three of us.
Yeah, I wish it was only $2,400 that we had to give you, because it's exponentially larger.
And finally, World Series had a winner, San Francisco Giants. I was not alive when they won the last time around, and
I was.
I didn't want to say it.
1954.
And what do you think?
I mean, they beat the Indians. The Indians had the best record in the history of baseball.
I won't take that personally.
Yeah, 111. These were the Cleveland Indians.
Oh, they were playing cricket, so they were running off in the wrong direction.
111-43 was their record, and the Giants just blew them away. With Jim Dusty Rhodes was the star of that World Series.
Now, for people
like Edgar Renteria was in this one.
Yeah, he was.
And now he's gone.
He's a free agent. I think we're actually going to have him in the NewsHour, the Rundown blog later next week as a contributor on a daily basis. So, for people who don't understand baseball too much, how is it that these are sort of paired up as pitching duels? And you know, mostly you think, okay, this is an offense. This guy's going to get strikeouts. But a lot of times, it's like, oh, well, he won this game over so and so. How's that possible?
Well, this is a pitching year, and the thing I want you to know about Tim Lincecum, who was the pitching star, is that there are very few pitchers who make the Hall of Fame who are under 6 foot. Lincecum is probably 5'9", 5'10". He probably weighs 85 pounds, no, maybe 160. And he has a freakishly complicated delivery, which was taught to him by his father, placing a dollar bill on the ground in front of him. And he said, when you do a motion, follow through so much you pick up the dollar bill down there. And so it takes phenomenal coordination to be able to have that complicated emotion, throw a strike. But the bottom line is, he's not like a big physical god. He's a little guy with phenomenal corporate coordination who works in a very unorthodox manner. I think he was caught with marijuana, and his approval rating in San Francisco went up. So it's a bit of an oddball story, but a good story.
It's a great story, really. I mean, he said of his team, the San Francisco Giants, who moved out there in 1958 from New York, but he said, we're a lot like the city. We're very accepting of each other. And I thought it was kind of lovely. Yeah. David's point about pitchers are usually tall is true. Ed Whitey Ford from the New York Yankees is the only pitcher under 6 feet to be in the Hall of Fame, although Pedro Martinez, I expect, will be and should be. But Lincecum is on his way to make it 3.
Wow. All right. Gentlemen, Mark Shields, David Brooks, this is the doubleheader. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for watching. I'm Hari Srinivasan. Stay with us.